when you stand up here and you sing and you want to do your very, very best for God, you know the devil's going to be here and he's going to mess things up for you. And you guys don't boo and you don't get sad faces and you don't tell us about us later. You just laugh with us and keep singing. That's what I love about you.
Amen. Yeah, they don't throw fruit at me either, so that's a good thing. We have a video we want to share to start here. Let's bow our heads together and pray. Lord, we want to focus on your love this morning. You are the Lord of Advent, and we await your coming in the second Advent. Hear our cries for your arrival. Remake our hearts into your heart. Teach us by your indwelling Holy Spirit. Let your love be our love. Reveal yourself in your word. And in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You getting prepared for the season? How many have seen a Hallmark movie? All right. Let's see who the diehards are. How many have seen two Hallmark movies? All right. How many have seen three? You guys are sick and wrong. It's the season, right? It is the season. And we get ourselves ready in a number of different ways. I like to watch specials on TV. And you may remember a few years ago, the Muppets did a special Christmas song. They, you know, the singer CeeLo Green? They did a special song with him. And it was a video called All I Need Is Love, and they did it at Christmas time. And a true Muppets form, you know, I don't know how many Muppet fans, any Muppet fans here? You know, yeah. Yeah, once, when the Muppets first came out and they were really being geared towards kids, I once had my pager go off in a Muppet movie and had to get up and go out in those days before we had cell phones. So I love the Muppets all the way back to the beginning. Well, if you haven't seen it, the video was lots of fun. All the big people are in it, like Kermit the Frog, Fozzie Bear, Miss Piggy, Gonzo and his chickens, and all the important people. There's a lot of bling in it. They talk about and they sing about all the Christmas presents they could get, all the fancy toys they could get, all the latest technology they can get. And then it takes a bit of a turn, and kind of ironically for the Muppets, and maybe for CeeLo Green, They capture the real meaning of Christmas in the middle of the song. As the song goes on, it turns out that the Muppets and CeeLo don't really want all that stuff they've been singing about. All they want, according to the song, for Christmas, is love. Well, maybe not Miss Piggy. She's kind of a material girl, right? But everybody else, they want love. I'm pretty sure the Muppets never set out to make any great theological statements with their Christmas song, but the song taps into a truth that all we really do need is love. Not in the John and Yoko style either. We're talking about God's love. And today, as we celebrate together the second Sunday of Advent, this journey that we've started called God With Us, we're celebrating love. When Jesus came into the world as a baby, he was the human embodiment of the gift of God's love. He came as God incarnate. He came as love incarnate. Well, what does incarnate mean? We're talking about God with skin on. We're talking about God in human form, the embodiment of love. This morning I want to tell you a love story as part of this theme. Mary and Joseph's story is a love story. You know, love is kind of an obsession for us, isn't it, right? I mean, we really focus on love in our culture, and that isn't new. It seems like throughout our entire human history we've been doing this. We've been inspired and moved and intrigued and motivated by love, not to mention being messed up and confused by love, but love is pretty important. We spend a lot of our history trying to understand it. Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves if love is part of our human programming. Is love hardwired into our being? Maybe it just reflects our God, our Creator, and our deepest longings are centered around love. Have you ever thought about the story of Mary and Joseph as a love story? I mean, it really is. Let's imagine ourselves back in this ancient time, in the dusty streets, under the Roman rule, in a small village called Nazareth. And in that village lived a carpenter named Joseph, and he had noble ancestry. He's distantly related to King David himself. He lives a very humble life, working with his hands as a craftsman, as a tradesman. And he probably learned to build things from his father. That's the way things work generationally, from generation to generation. And his father was probably a carpenter before him. Some scholars think that Joseph grew up in Bethlehem and then at some point moved to Nazareth. And we don't really know why. It's about 70 miles to the north as the crow flies. And he may have been looking for work. It may be that he had relatives in the town, or maybe the town just needed a new carpenter. And we don't know for sure, but it's likely that Joseph had been working in this town long enough to establish himself as an honorable and successful craftsman. And guess what? That would have made him an eligible bachelor in the town. We know that Joseph was probably around 20 or so. Some people think he could have been as old as coming up to 30. As we know, he's older than Mary. But he was at a point in his life when he was ready to get married. He was ready to establish his own family. The younger girls of the village, and most likely their fathers, would have noticed that. They would have been ready too. You have to remember, Jewish marriage customs were a lot different than ours are. Marriages followed very clear legal guidelines, and they took part in three stages. The first stage was the contract. Second stage was the consummation, and the third one was the celebration. First of all, Mary's father would have gone to Joseph to propose a marriage union, to arrange a marriage union, a little bit different from the way we do things. A cash price, like a dowry, would have been set that Joseph would have paid to Mary's family, maybe along with some gifts. And they signed a contract. It was called a ketubah. And at that point, Joseph and Mary were legally married. They weren't face-to-face yet, but they were legally married when that contract was signed. He was her husband and she was his wife. That was the betrothal stage. It's a little more serious than our engagement. Well, then the couple would get to know each other. They would kind of go through the dating cycle that we do, which would be, you know, ahead of where theirs is. And it would go on for quite some time. It might be some time in the future. I mean, it might be even several years if the woman was very, very young. And at some point, Joseph would lead a procession of his friends to Mary's house where they would be waiting with a group of friends. And then while everybody waited at the house, the couple would consummate their marriage. I know, right? Privacy. It ain't there. This stage two of the marriage was called the kupa. And then everyone would get together and they would have the marriage feast. And that's when the marriage procession that you read about in the story of the ladies in their lanterns, that's where that happens. They would go to the marriage feast and they would celebrate the final stage of the process. And that might last several days. Well, it's very different from what we're used to. And it's kind of awkward sounding, isn't it? But not so fast, you know. The culture and the tradition of those ancient days looked different. But just because they looked different doesn't mean there wasn't a real relationship happening between Joseph and Mary. Probably even some romance going on. Maybe Mary and Joseph's story went a little bit like this. Mary was younger than Joseph. Tradition suggests that she was probably a young teenager, because in that day, women married very young. And the options and opportunities in her life would probably depend on her marriage and on her family life. In a small town, she would know who Joseph was, I'm pretty sure. He was a fairly young man. He was rugged. He would be strong. He'd be kind of buff from working with wood all the time, working with his hands. From the little bits about we're told about him in the Bible, he must have been a very even-keeled man, a very confident man, a very kind man. For his part, Joseph would have known all the girls in the village, too. Their fathers were his customers. He would have built furniture for their homes. He would have crafted yokes and plows for their farms or wheels for their carts. Maybe Joseph said to his friends one day, "Have you seen that Mary? Her eyes, they sparkle like the sun on the Sea of Galilee." And maybe Mary said to her friends, "I saw Joseph laughing with the little children outside his workshop, and the sound of his voice was musical." However they got there, eventually this young couple were married, and they were bound together for life. Uncertain future, they didn't know what was coming in the future. They were betrothed. Like the rest of us, they couldn't have any idea of how hard or how easy life would be together. But I'm sure they were pretty excited. And with every day that passed, they would be spending more and more time together. In the custom of the day, whenever there was a big religious festival, this betrothed husband would go to the bride's family and spend the day or couple of days, depending on the festival, with the family. And so there was this real assimilation process that was going on. And they would really be getting to know each other and probably beginning to have that emotional, deeper connection of love. So imagine the emotional bombshell that went off when Joseph heard about Mary's pregnancy. In that society, even more than our society, that would be radical. I mean, you can imagine what's going through Joseph's head. Like, how could you, Mary? How could you do this to me? How could you do this to us? I thought you loved me in the same way that I love you. We were doing this the right way. We were honoring God and our families and each other. And now this. If you've ever experienced betrayal, especially the betrayal of adultery, or been so close to someone who's experienced it, you know how devastating that can be. The pain can be visceral. The wound can feel physical, like your chest has been blown wide open. This was the broken trust that Joseph must or would have felt when Mary came and told him the news. I mean, imagine the scene. What did this look like? "Joseph, I know this sounds crazy, but an angel visited me and told me that I'm going to have a baby. And the angel said his name was going to be Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. He's the Messiah, Joseph. You have to believe me. It's a miracle. But I know it's true because I'm pregnant." Maybe he was listening to the first few words of that. You know, maybe he heard the word angel or the word miracle or the word Messiah. But I'm sure his brain stopped working right when he heard the word pregnant. Everybody knows there's only one way to get pregnant, and he hadn't been involved. This is all too much for Joseph. Maybe he walked away in silence. Maybe he just stormed away. Or maybe he shouted and stormed, and Mary was the one who left. I'm guessing that when this revelation happened, that things didn't go very smoothly. And maybe this is part of the reason why Mary went off to spend 3 months with her cousin Elizabeth, away from her own village, out in the hill country of Judea, far away from Nazareth. It would buy time for Mary's family to figure out what to do. How would people ever believe this story from Mary? Maybe it would give Joseph a little time to accept it. So the lovers parted, and I'm sure there was pain, and there was anger, and there was distrust, and young Mary was clinging desperately to the words of an angel and to this knowledge that deep in her soul she must have had, that no matter how crazy this sounded and how miraculous this was, God's own son had begun life inside of her. But she believed somehow God was going to make a way. Well, isn't that the kind of crisis that threatens to destroy a good love story? Right now, to me, it sounds like a really bad country music song, but you know, all of these things together. But this is not an ordinary story. It's also a supernatural love story. And it involves you and me and every human who has ever walked the earth, even if we're not aware of it. What about the love in your life? I'm not just talking about human love, although that's really great. But what about God's supernatural love in your life? How does it affect you? How can you experience it? That's where we want to go this morning. You know, if we were watching a movie of Mary and Joseph's love story, this would be maybe the point where you get this super zoom. You ever see those in the movies where they start zooming out and it gets further and further? You see the village, and then you see the countryside, and you can see the lakes and streams, and then you see the globe. But it keeps pulling back, and you start seeing space, and you start seeing the end of the galaxy, and you get beyond everything where there's nothing but God. And you get to that point where there's just the presence of God. And that presence is God's love. That presence is an embodiment of love. Supernatural. Infinite. The Apostle John said it very simply when he said this. He said that God is love. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. This is the nature of God. This is love in its purest form. Love was there at the center of God's creative force that created the universe. And it was there when he formed the people in his image to have a relationship with him. And love was even there when the world fell into sin and rebellion. And despite the catastrophic consequences of humanity's fall, love was there shepherding Adam and Eve and their family into this altered, this changed world that changed because of them. And even then, even there in the beginning, love was making a way to restore everything that was lost. It's always part of God's plan. And a covenant was forged between God and man that led God's people through the Old Testament period. And even though they didn't obey God at times, in fact, a lot of the time, there was God's love, still right there, still walking pace for pace with them. Well, in Mary and Joseph's story, love was taking on the form of humanity in the Messiah, in Jesus. Love is God with us. And love would be with Mary and Joseph to care for them and to provide for their needs. A test of a good love story is this. Is love enough? Is love enough? Is love strong enough? Is love deep enough? Is love true enough to handle life together? Because we all know that life together can be a struggle at times, that it's not always easy, our path of life. And Kevin, can our love endure those things in good times or in crisis? We believe that love is enough if it's God's love. God is enough. And God's love is faithful. God is faithful to us. God also gives love. Mary's journey to her cousin Elizabeth's house, it couldn't have been easy. I mean, it was miles away. It must have been a very long, hot, dusty walk, especially being pregnant. The road must have been kind of lonely. And over the miles, I can just sort of picture all of these recent conversations and events just running through her head over and over again. You ever get obsessing about something? I could just see this tape playing over and over in her head. And all the pain and the hurt she saw in Joseph's eyes, the disbelief, the confusion from her own family, and her clinging desperately to the hope of the words of the angel. She knew the truth, but nobody else could see it. Imagine how lonely that must have felt. She must have wondered what was going to happen to her. But as soon as Mary arrived, as soon as she came into the presence of Elizabeth, she was blessed. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear, Elizabeth declared. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Mary's hearing this from Elizabeth, and there's this supernatural quality, it's a prophetic quality to what's being said, and she recognizes that. Can you imagine the relief in that? I mean, she believed it, but here's confirmation coming through her cousin. Immediately, Elizabeth, who was carrying her own miracle child, knew and confirmed that Mary, or to Mary, that love was here, that God was there, and that everything was going to be all right. I'm sure there was a sense of relief in that. And Mary's response is overwhelming. If you read that, I would encourage you, if you're looking for a devotional piece to read, this is a good piece to read. Starting in Luke chapter 1, down around verse 46, where she begins what we call the Magnificat. It's one of the most beautiful passages in the entire Bible, where she glorifies God because she begins to really understand the place that she has in God's plan. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." He has been mindful. God remembers her. God is aware of her and what she's going through. Through Elizabeth, God provides just the love that Mary needs. I mean, Elizabeth is there, supportive and understanding. And that's often the way God works, isn't it? We walk in his love, and he knows just what we need. And he brings us the support of people around us at just the right time. And on the flip side of that, God often uses us to provide support and love and care for the people around us. That's the way God works. God works through people. It's not a cartoon God who works through lightning bolts. It's a real God who works through people to touch other people. And he brings his love to them, and then they bring their love to others. Meanwhile, back at the Nazareth Ranch, there's Joseph. And he's trying to figure out what to do, and he's in a lot of pain, and he's confused. He can't believe what's happening. You know, legally, he has some options here. He could have taken Mary to court. And if he took her to court, they would annul the marriage, and she could be stoned to death as an adulteress. He could do that, but he loved her. But he couldn't handle what was going on, and so the law also allowed him to divorce her quietly in a private kind of an affair so that she would not be publicly disgraced by it, and he would not be publicly disgraced because her disgrace would be his disgrace in their community. But right at that point where he was wrestling with that and trying to figure out what to do, that's where the supernatural part came to him. That's where God brought this love that he needed. So Joseph got his own visit from the angel. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Notice how God knew exactly what was happening in Joseph. He says, do not be afraid. The central problem here is fear. Joseph was afraid. Joseph didn't know where to go. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what the outcome was going to be like. And he was afraid. But God says, don't be afraid. God gave him the reassurance that he needed to trust Mary. And of course, it's repeated here. His name will be Jesus. He's heard that before from Mary. So this confirmation coming here. God's love makes a way for their love story. And Joseph chooses love and trust, even though the law told him that he could do something completely different. And it's a beautiful reflection of how God himself chooses to love us and choose a relationship with us, even though we didn't necessarily deserve it. Even though our sins mean death and separation from a holy and perfect God, in his nature of pure love, he chose us, even at the terrible price of his own son. John 3:16 tells us that it was because of God's love that God sent Jesus to the earth to give his life for us. The love of God with us is God's perfect form in human form that we celebrate this time of the year. And this is the love that knows exactly what we need, no matter what we're facing right now. Whether it's support or restoration, an encounter with the God of the miraculous, whatever it is you need, God's love is with you and with us. It's here for you, and it's making a way to accomplish God's work in your life right now, because that's the God we serve. Paul, in the book of Romans, in Romans 8, 38 and 39, says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Well, like any true God-written love story, Mary and Joseph's love didn't end with themselves. It became built on this foundation of God's perfect love, his supernatural love, and they began to trust each other, and they trusted God, and they followed him on this crazy ride that was so different than anybody else in history. When they opened their hearts to God's love, he allowed his love to go right on through them and to love in a very special way, to love a child that had been given. They were in it together, Mary and Joseph. Think about the things they went through, this long journey to Bethlehem, the desperate night with Mary about to give birth and no place for her to do that, no place for her to stay. The first cry of the Messiah as he took his first breath. And the joy of the other people, the shepherds and the wise men and going to the temple at Simeon and Anna, the prophet and the prophetess, and they saw and they recognized in the baby Jesus that this is the Messiah that had been promised. And then the warning to flee because Jesus' life was in danger. And then being told to come back later on. You know, God was so present in their lives. God was providing for them and caring for them and guiding them in so many different ways. And they loved Jesus. They did it for Jesus because there became a recognition that his life existed for more than just their family. His life existed for all of us. He was God with us. And his love was offered to the whole world. Through this Advent season, we have the opportunity to reflect on how we do the same. Jesus said, "A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." The ability to love begins as we open ourselves to God's love. That's where it starts. And then it grows and overflows as we extend kindness and care and support for people around us. And sometimes that's a small step, and sometimes that's a real leap of faith because it's outside of your comfort zone. But through it all, I know that we can trust and know that it's love that holds us together and that it's love that leads us forward. Because God is with us, love is with us. And it's love that's going to make a way, no matter what we're facing, no matter what happens this season or in the year to come. God's love will always be with us as we embrace Him. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your love. We thank you for your gift of love in Jesus. You love us no matter what, even when we really don't deserve it, and most of the time we don't. Lord, as we receive you, your love grows in us. Help us to love one another and to love others as you lead us to them. Help us to love in this Advent season and beyond this season. We pray for your guidance, that supernatural love would grow up between us and flow on through us. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. As we conclude, I invite you to listen, to meditate. Words are going to be up on the screen. Listen to what God has to say.
May God's love always with us, isn't it? We found this song up at Roxbury this year. It was really special. And I wanted to bring it and share it with you. Perfect day for it. Let's sing about God's reckless love.
I need a little love right now.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. The shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Amen. And that's what we're talking about. It's that beautiful, overwhelming, reckless love of God. He never, ever, ever gives up on us. He's always there. Always. I know. It's hard to believe. I know. There's doubt. It really is always, always there. Could I have you stand to receive the blessing of God as we finish up? First, we pray God's love over you. And we pray God's love in your heart. And we pray God's love through you. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all measure of the fullness of God and know God's love deeply. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go with God. And don't forget, we're going to be caroling on Wednesday evening.